Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matacha, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama.
Are you well?
I'm good. I'm inspired by your music, man.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah,
Jesus,
man.
Who loves us too much. That's beautiful.
Too much, oh, man, if you ask me.
Beautiful
too
stuff.
Much, oh.
Beautiful stuff.
You know, he just takes care of us. I mean, if he could take care of the birds, my pastor, well, how much more us, really? Nah, man. He takes good care
That's
of us.
That's great. Yeah. We have a God who loves us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, we're continuing to talk about the exclusivity of Christ, Jesus, as the truth. Now, we live in an era of alternative facts and personal truths, where reality often feels like it's shifting under our feet. But what if truth isn't a list of rules or philosophical concept, but a person you actually know? Yeah, today we're discussing Christ as the truth, a culture of relativism. In fact, we want to explore how his unwavering reality, offers a firm foundation within this culture of relativism, and why knowing the truth is the only thing that can truly set a soul free. Now, with that background, Pastor, we live in a post-truth era, you know, where many say, "Have your truth. I have mine." How does Jesus as the truth and the only truth challenge this?
Thank you so much. Today's discussion is one of the most interesting ones. Especially having a discussion, having to touch with relativism. That propounds that there is no objective truth. There is nothing called absolute truth. Also, postmodernism, where reality is constructed through language, power dynamics, and social context, and there is no objective truth. And it's really sad to say that these philosophical concepts were coined by the so-called great men of our time, that people actually argue that there is nothing like objective truth or absolute truth. So relativism says truth is dependent on where you are, where you are coming from, so you can have your truth. Your truth does not necessarily have to be my truth. I can have my truth that is different from your truth. When you listen to these concepts, they seem logical until you really listen to Christ. Then you will see that there really is a problem. So I remember it's one of the disciplines that we had to do studying theology. In metaphysics, they ask this question, does God exist? And then they throw all these concepts. Now, when Jesus says, "I am the truth," he challenges these concepts. Now, allow me to just scratch a little bit in the surface and show you how illogical these so-called philosophies are. Someone says there is no absolute truth. Well, the question that we must ask is, how absolute is that fact? Is it true that there is no absolute truth? You see, that question on its own is self-defeating.
Yeah.
If a person says there is no absolute truth, which is relativism, it's self-refutation. If there is no objective truth, then the statement there is no objective truth can't be objectively true. It's self-contradictory. If you say there is no truth, then either what you just said is not true. If it's true, then there is truth. if it's not true, yeah. mm-hmm. then you cannot say there's no truth. You, you understand the,
the
foolishness of the argument, though it's a high philosophical concept that people look at. So the first point, the argument against relativism is it's self-contradictory. The second one, the moral implications. Imagine without objective truth, concepts like justice, rights, or evil, they become subjective.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an atrocity. It can be objectively wrong since it depends, you know, and then it defies logic and reason.
Yeah.
So they are realities. The fact that you and I exist is a fact that is absolute. It does not have to depend on anything. Now, when Christ comes and says, I am the truth, I am the truth. Jesus' claim to be the truth is rooted in his nature as the Son of God, according to John 14, verse 6, according to John chapter 1, verse 1. He is not imposing truth. He is revealing the Father's heart, for God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him. He is, though the postmodernic era, the pluralism, the relativism, the existentialism, that a man has a choice to choose what they want to call their own truth, it does not sit well with the idea that Jesus says he is the truth. Jesus is not a relative truth. He is the objective truth. He is the truth that was, he is the truth that is, and he is the truth that will be. So it counters this idea that you have your truth, I have mine. And out of this subtle concept comes the idea now and the confusion that we now have, that we can't tell whether whether you are a boy or a girl. It's subjective. It's not objective. You can be a girl that is trapped in a man's body. That's confusion because we don't have this thing that we say this thing is absolute. So Jesus defies this whole logic by acknowledging that he is the truth. He has his own mindset pointing to absolute truth. And that absolute truth is found in the Maker, the one who created the world, the heavens and earth.
Is it the only truth?
Yes, as far as salvation is concerned, Jesus is the only truth. There are lots of truth out there, like the fact that you and I are born, you and I exist, this is true. But as far as salvation is concerned, in the way to salvation, Jesus is the absolute truth.
Now, what does it mean that Christ is the divine knowledge and the image of God?
Thank you so much. That's a great one. According to John chapter 1, like I had said, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on, verse 14, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among men. So Jesus is the embodiment of God's character and revelation. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, all things were made by him in heaven, on earth, and they were made for him. So he is the perfect representation of God's nature. He is the perfect representation of God's love. He came to demonstrate what God's love looks like. He came to demonstrate who God is. He was with God in the beginning. He was God. He came on earth to reveal who God is. So Jesus is the divine knowledge. He is the image of God. Revelation, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it calls him, Jesus, the express image of the Father. So the perfect image of God, we see it in Jesus.
How do we trust that the Bible is the truth? And how does that connect us back to Christ?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I don't want to lie. Mm. Because Christians will say the Bible is the truth, and the Muslims will say the Quran is the truth, and the Hindu will say the Bible is the truth. So every religion has its own book. But how do we separate the Bible? How do we set the Bible aside from all other books? First, the Bible is a reliable book. One, it has historical evidence. It has eyewitnesses. That has life. You find these stories even in secular historical books. And it also has archaeological findings. Number two, the Bible has fulfilled prophecies. Okay, it has messianic prophecies like Isaiah chapter 53, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and many other prophecies that prophesied about a Messiah that would come, how he would come, the manner in which he would be born, the place in which he would be born, how he would be betrayed, his crucifixion. These are things that were predicted 2,000 years before the Messiah appeared. Now, I want you to imagine how difficult that is. People struggle with predicting a match that will be played maybe 30 minutes later to say who will score, how many scores, not even the names of the score, of the people who will be on the score sheet, just to predict the score line. People struggle with that. Imagine having to make a prediction of 2,000 years of things that would happen 2,000 years later, and then they happen exactly to the dot. Mm. You remember this incident in 2010 when there was a World Cup in South Africa, and I was in South Africa at the moment. The whole world was shaken by this Paul the Octopus that predicted almost with accuracy the matches of the World Cup. You remember this octopus? And everyone was shocked, like, wow. Now, if people can be shocked by such accuracy of prediction, imagine someone who comes and says things that will happen 2,000 years later, and they happen to the dot. That makes the Bible reliable.
Yeah,
it sets the Word of God apart. The other point is the Bible has the transformative power. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says the Bible, the Word of God, is like a two-edged sword that cuts through even to the marrow. And there is no book on earth that has changed people's lives and transformed them for better than the Bible. It has witnesses of people. No matter how educated you are, no one says, hey, I have read geography and studied it well. I have graduated. Now my morals are better. There's no book that shapes human morality like the Bible. So the Bible also has transformative power. So Jesus also connects himself to the Bible. It's not just another book or his book. The Bible is his word. Jesus is also called the Word of God in John chapter 1, verse 1. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he is the Word of God. He is the Word that was made audible. He is the Word that was made visible. So the Word and Jesus are used interchangeably. So the Bible is a reliable book.
Is a reliable book. Is it perfect?
The Bible is not perfect when measured by human standards. It's perfect when measured by divine standards. Let me explain quickly what that means. The Bible is God's word that was written in man's language. Man's language is not perfect. It was God's thoughts that were given to men and expressed in men's languages that are not perfect. So there are things that people can point and say, but here, because God would convey a thought, and then the people would write this thought in their own understanding. So God would not dictate and say this, and they write exactly. He would give them the idea, and then they would convert the same idea different ways. That does that mean the Bible is less of the word of God? Not a chance. It is the word of God, but it was written in human languages that are imperfect.
Mm. Now, how does the truth of Christ set us free? And what does it set us free from?
Very interesting discussion. John chapter 8, verse 38, verse 32 says, knowing Jesus' truth frees us. And the question is, what does it free us from? It frees us from the bondage of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing Christ and his truth, we do not know that there is hope for sinners.
Mm.
We will be condemned to death. We would not know that there is freedom from the bondage of sin, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 18 and verse 22. It also frees us from deception. John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil. You do what your father says because he lies from the beginning. Knowing the Bible, knowing Jesus, sets us free from being deceived. We do not need to hear or listen to what someone says about Jesus. We can go directly to his book and find out from him what he says. It deceives us, or it sets us free also from uncertainty. In John chapter 14, verse 6, the disciples did not know, where is this way? Where is this Jesus going? Knowing Jesus set them free from that uncertainty. He is the way. We gain freedom in living according to God's truth.
Mm. Yeah. Now, how can we anchor then our lives in the truth of Christ when we feel overwhelmed by conflicting information?
Interesting. Very interesting. So, when we are overwhelmed, how do we depend on the anchor that is in Christ? First, we go into scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration, and it is helpful to guide, to correct, to rebuke, to chasten. When we are overwhelmed by issues of this life, we can go to God's life and we can find the anchor. We can listen to what his word says and we may find the anchor. We can also find that anchor through prayer, which is something that we find in Christ. We can pray for discernment, James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him come to the Father who can help us have a decision, make a decision. Mm. We can also have this anchor in knowing that we have somebody who loves us enough, who died for us, who cares for us, who is always there for us, who loves us, who will not abandon us, who will not leave us alone. That can help us to rely and to go to him for sustenance and for comfort.
Yeah. Lastly, before I let you go, how is Jesus' truth absolute without being arrogant?
Thank you so much. How is Jesus' truth absolute without being arrogant? This is a good one. So, like I said yesterday, I'm going to repeat what I said, and then I'll just add just a few things. When Jesus says, "I am the truth," he's not trying to offend others, and he's not trying to be arrogant. How can this truth in this postmodernity era, in this period where we have these philosophical concepts of relativism and all other things, be acceptable that he is truth without being arrogant? One, Jesus' claim to be the truth is rooted in his nature as God's son. That's who he is. He's not imposing truth. He's revealing the Father's heart. Jesus, when he says, I am the truth, it's an invitation to say, come, test me. Whatever you are going through, you don't have to go through alone. We don't have, unfortunately, as Christians, we use this thing to say, because Jesus is absolute truth, then everyone else is wrong. My religion is right, your religion is wrong. Once we use that, then we are causing more unnecessary animosity rather than winning souls and winning arguments through righteous living. We don't have to be confrontational. We can, through our own works, through how we live, through how this truth has transformed us, impact others who are around us, that they may say, wow, we also need this life-changing truth.
Beautiful stuff there. My pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. Always, always a pleasure talking to you. We'll connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so much to you and blessings.
Thanks. Shalom.
Shalom.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.